ask the Lord to hold our hand and hold his hand as we go through life and depend upon him. Wouldn't be much hope. It'd be a very dismal existence if we didn't have him to depend upon and lean upon as we go through life. And we give praise, glory, and honor unto his most holy name. Weren't you happy to see the sun rise this morning? Happy that your name wasn't in the obituary column this morning when you got up. Lord gives us blessings beyond compare. And we need to always express our thanks and praise and glory unto him for all the good things that he has given unto us. Going to be looking at a very familiar text this morning, but perhaps looking at it in a way that maybe you have not looked at it before. But then again, maybe you have. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Very familiar passage to each and every one of us, I'm sure. Which the Lord gives what we've usually termed the Great Commission. Before we look at that, I'm going to ask that you bow with me now in a word of prayer. Loving Father, we come before thy throne at this time to praise your name. We come giving you thanks and glory and honor, thankful for thy love and mercy. We would ask, particularly now at this time, Father, that you be with us as we study thy word together. We recognize that we need thy help, and we do ask, Father, that you will be with us as we worship and study. May we understand these truths we're about to examine, and may we put them into practice in our lives. Forgive us of our sins, and above all, be with us. In Christ's most holy name we do pray. Amen. After Jesus resurrected from the dead, and shortly before he returned to heaven, he spoke the words found here in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, to his apostles and disciples. Said to them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. I want us to look at what he told his disciples to do, which was the act of preaching the gospel to all the world. It was a message that was to be delivered unto every nation, to every creature, he says in this text. What is the gospel? What is the message that is to be delivered? If people believe this message, he says, and they are baptized, they will be saved. What is the message that Jesus wants delivered to every creature under heaven? Well, the word itself, gospel, literally means good news. He wants some good news then. The good news preached to every creature. What is this good news? Well, I turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there I find the Apostle Paul telling in some detail what he preached. He tells the church there at Corinth that I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you. Now notice he says, I'm going to make known to you the gospel, the good news that I preached unto you, which you received and in which you stand and by which you are saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered, now he's going to tell us what he delivered. He says, this is what I'm delivering, I'm going to make known to you. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and the 12, and then goes on giving the evidence, the testimony of those that saw him after he raised from the dead. So when Paul preached the gospel to the people at Corinth, he told them of how Christ died for their sins. How that he was buried and how that he arose from the grave victorious over death. These are the facts of the gospel. But I want us to look a little bit deeper in regards to this. Isn't what Paul is saying that the gospel is the... Notice it wasn't that just Christ died and was buried and rose, but he died for our sins. Isn't what he's delivering then a message concerning what God has done for us? Isn't it a message concerning the love of God? Isn't the message the gospel? Isn't the good news the fact that God loves us and he wants us saved, that he has made provision for our forgiveness of our sins, and that he wants to give us eternal life? John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave, that's the death of Jesus, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The good news is then that God so loved us that he gave his Son to die for our sins, that he was buried, that he arose from the dead, all for the purpose that we might not perish, but that we might have everlasting life. Now, you can expand on what the gospel is in many ways, but that, in a heart, is the gospel message. The gospel message that God loves us and wants us saved. He's made provision for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 4 and verse 10 says, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The message is that God loves us. He gave his Son to die for us, that we might be forgiven. That Son was buried. He went into death, but he came forth victorious over death. He was resurrected to life, that we too, through him, might have everlasting life. Christians, then, it seems to me, have been sent on a mission of love. The title, if I put a title on the notes that I have here before me, is A Mission of Love. Our mission is not to go into the world and condemn people. Our mission is not to go into the world and command people that they got to do this and this and this to be good enough to be saved. Our mission is to go into the world and preach the good news of God's love and mercy, and how he gave his Son to die for us, that Son was buried, that he rose again, that people might live eternally. We're to preach the love of God to all the world. We have been sent on that mission, a mission of love. And preaching the gospel must begin with the preaching of the love of God. What's the first and the great commandment? Jesus was asked that question on several occasions, wasn't he? And sometimes he'd say, well, what do you read in the law? You know, he said, how do you read it? And the lawyer replied that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And the second, he says, liken unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, you got it right. The first and the greatest commandment is to love God. And so the preaching of the gospel message begins with the preaching of the love of God. He does not want us lost. He wants us saved eternally, and toward that end, he gave his Son to die for us. It is the love for God, the love of God, that will lead people to obey him. John says we love him because he first loved us. When people come to see, when we come to see how that God loves us, it then in turn causes us to love him. And Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 15 then, if ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. It is the love of God that will motivate, that will move people to render obedience unto the gospel, that will lead people to obey him. The place to begin in preaching the gospel is not to tell people you must do this and you must do that and you must do this, but it is to begin with the love of God. That love of God will lead people to love God and in return lead people to obey God. Do whatever God says to do. Look at Romans, the 13th chapter, and verse 9 and 10. Romans 13, 9 and 10, where the Apostle Paul, I invite you to read along with me. I think this is a very key passage we need to understand here. Romans 13, 9 and 10. Paul says, for the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. Any other commandment, all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. What will love lead people to do? Well, here he's talking about treating our neighbors right. It'll lead us to treat our neighbors right. Love will cause us to fulfill all the commandments that God has given unto us with reference, here he's talking about, with love toward our, with reference to treating our neighbors. If I love you and you love me, then we are going to keep God's law, all his instructions, all his counsel, all advice given in reference to how we should deal with one another. You see, it's not, you know, the law of God is not necessarily given for people who have perfect love for one another. People who have perfect love for one another is going to automatically keep the commandments of God. But we need to preach to people the love of God. We need to all understand how much God loves us. And we in turn will love him and keep his commandments, all his commandments. And we go to take to the world a message that God loves them. When they come to see God's love, then they will be led to repentance. They'll be led to confession. And they'll be led to be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. People will be drawn to God as they come to know the love of God. 1 John 4:19, which I've already quoted, we love him because he first loved us. Jesus on the cross is what will draw people to him, because Jesus on the cross is the expression of God's love. John 12, verse 32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lifted up on that cross, we see God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We see that love of God in action as Jesus dies for us upon the cross. And that's what will lead us unto Jesus. John 6 and 45, Jesus said, here everyone who has heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. People need to know about God the Father. They need to know of his love. They need to know what he has done through Jesus Christ. And whenever we come to know what he's done, then we're going to respond in obedience unto him. And so Christians have been sent on a message, a mission of love, to tell people of the love of God. The preaching of belief and repentance and confession and baptism will follow the preaching of God's love. I'm afraid too often we start with commands, giving people commands of what they must do to please God. But we got to give people a motive for pleasing God. We need to begin with the love of God. And thus they will be drawn to him. We need to first preach the love of God. He died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised. And then they'll want to know what they must do to be saved. But you know, our mission is not just a mission as Christians. You know, that involves every one of us. Every Christian has been sent to show the love of God. But our mission is not just one of telling or preaching God's love. We must demonstrate God's love in our lives. John 13, verse 35, we find Jesus saying there, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So he says all men, all people out in the world are going to know that we are his disciples if we love one another. And so we must show people love. We can't just command people that they've got to love God to be saved, or we can't just tell people of God's love. We must show them what love is all about and demonstrate love in our own lives. Now note the kind of love which he says here. In just the very verse right before that, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now the love that Jesus says that he's talking about here, the love that he says all people are going to recognize, that will cause people to recognize that we are his disciples, is the same kind of love with which he loves us. He says, "You love one another as I have loved you." And so the kind of love here that will cause people to see that we are truly Christians, that we are the disciples of the Lord, is not the worldly type an understanding of love. And it's not a love which is based upon feeling or emotion. But it is the love that we see in God and in Christ for us. As Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? He sacrificed himself for us, didn't he? He gave up his life for us. And Jesus says, "That's the kind of love I'm commanding you as my disciples to have. That we too will sacrifice ourselves for others." And note, his love for us is an unconditional love. That is, he did not say to us, "Well, whenever you get your life all straightened out and you quit sinning and living in wicked disobedience to God, then I'll love you." His love for us is unconditional. In fact, Paul writes that he loved us when we were helpless, without strength, in Romans 5, verse number 6. When we were still helpless, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We were helpless. We couldn't do anything to save ourselves. We were lost. Because of our sins, we were doomed to eternal destruction. Because of our sins, we're separated from God, without God, without hope in the world. But Christ died for us. And notice he says, when we were ungodly, we were not like God. You know, most of us love those things that appeal to us, that's like us. But when we were unlike God, he died for us. When we were in a lost condition, helpless, he died for us. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die," Paul writes, "yet peradventure for a good man," some people would even dare to die, "but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now this is the type of love that Jesus commands us to have one for another. And this is the type of love that if we will show to all the world, people will know that we are his disciples. A sacrificial love that sacrifices ourselves for others. A love of loving people unconditionally. It doesn't matter if what their race or what their speech or what the color of their skin or how much money they have or their health condition or their bodily cleanliness. And you could go on and on. It doesn't matter. It's an unconditional love. That type of love will cause people to see that we are the disciples of the Lord. Brethren, we've been sent on a mission of love. That's what will save people. That's what will cause people to come to repentance. That's what will cause people to come to believe. That's what will cause people to render obedience unto the Lord. When they see the love of God and preached and told, we tell them about it, and whenever they see that love in us, our mission is to love all people as God loved us. Our mission is to love all people so that they can learn how God loves them. Notice what Jesus said here in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 about the type of love that we are to practice. Matthew 5, beginning in verse number 43. He says, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust." His love's unconditional. He sends his blessings upon the righteous and upon the evil. The rain, the sun, upon all. And he says, "For if you love those that love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others?" Yeah, if we just greet our brethren only, then we've got a type of love just like everybody else in the world has. It's not the type of love that sacrifices for others, that will lay down our lives for others, or that's unconditional. He says the tax collectors, the publicans, the sinners, they do these things. "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And this word perfect could better be translated mature. The showing, he's talking about the showing of mature love. A love, a genuine concern and interest for other people, like Jesus Christ had a genuine love and concern for us because we were lost. He took the initiative for our salvation. Now, as Christ were to love others, then as Christ loved his enemies. He says we're to do the same on the cross. When his enemies were even putting him to death, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When he was on the cross, because of his love for other people, he wasn't thinking about himself. His attention was not centered upon his pain or his agony, his suffering at that time. His attention was centered upon others. That's love. When we can center our attention upon others and see their needs, no matter how great our needs might be, yet we can see their difficulties and their problems and we sacrifice ourselves for them. That's the love that Christ had and the love that will show all people that we are truly his disciples. So he says we're to love our enemies as he did. We are to love and treat other people, those who are evil, those who are good. We're not to make any distinction, he says. We are to have a love which takes the initiative to show love. You know, Christ did not respond to people as they responded to him. As he went down the street or he came into contact with people, he didn't wait for people to see how people was going to treat him before he showed them love. He was on a mission of love. It is love that our world needs. It is love that will save people's souls. Our mission must be a mission of showing love to people. Not waiting until they show love to us. And if they show love to us, then we show them love. No. Our mission must be one of taking the initiative to show people love, so that they can be led to the love of God and led to respond to the love of God. Our mission is to show by the sacrifice of ourselves as Jesus laid down his life for others. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. John says, "By this we know love." What is love? "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." How do we know God loves us? Because he laid down his life for us. How are people out in the world going to know that we love one another? Because we lay down our lives for one another. The very next phrase he says, "And we ought to lay down our lives for one another, for the brethren." And when people see us lay down our lives for one another, they see us lay down our lives for other people in the world, they're going to know that we are the disciples of the Lord. Doors are going to be open where we can preach the love of God to them. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul says, I beseech therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Our bodies to be presented as a living sacrifice. What's he talking about? He says, by the mercies of God. As we see how much God loved us, then we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's out of love. When we're willing to sacrifice ourselves for the good of others, then they're going to see that truly we are the disciples of the Lord. We must practice this God type of love. Notice what John says here in 1 John 3 and verse number 18. He's just said here, I haven't talked about verse 17 first, have we? Let's talk about verse 17. He says, here we know the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart or his bowels of compassion, how does the love of God abide in him? Now, he's just using a common example. If we see our brother in need and we don't do anything about it, then he says the love of God's not in us. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our love must not just be something to talk about. Haven't you heard people say, oh, I love you, you know, or I love everybody. And then they go on their own way, taking care of their own business, not doing anything for anybody else. That's not love. Love is to see the needs of others, to lay down our lives for others. He says, let's love not just in word or in tongue, not just talk about how much we love others, but do it in deed and in truth. And then he says, and by this we know we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Now, do you know that? You catch what he said? By this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. How can I know that I have the truth? Whenever I can practice the same type of love that the Lord Jesus Christ practiced for me. How can I have assurance? How can I assure my heart that I'm in a right relationship with God? When I can see and I do lay down my life for others like he laid down my life for me, then I can have assurance. I can know that I am right with God because I'm practicing the same thing he practiced. I'm living the same type of love that he practiced. And he said that's the love when he was drawn up, when he was lifted up, would draw all men unto him. Brethren, we've been sent on a mission of love. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the love of God. Demonstrate that love of God to all people that they might come to know that love and obey it. Maybe this story will help. I read a story about a man who carried with him every place that he went a small can of oil. And whenever he would open a door and it would squeak or something, he'd pull out his can of oil and he would oil a hinge. He'd go through a creakety, squeaking gate, maybe rust setting in on it, he'd pull out his can of oil and he would oil the hinges of that gate. People observing his actions, of course, thought he was a little bit eccentric, you know. But let's not judge him too harshly. Because everywhere he went, he was eliminating those little squeaks and deterioration of rust and making life a little bit more pleasant for everybody. I also read of a man who was riding in a cab in New York City. If you've ever been up in the Northeast, you know how hard-boiled that people can be and how hard-hearted and uncaring and unconcerned, just being about their matter-of-fact business of each day, that people can be. But as he was riding in this cab and it came time for him to pay his fare, he said to the cabbie, he says, you know, I appreciate very much the way you handled your cab. And the man looked at him and said, well, growled at him, you know, said, what are you talking about? What are you, some kind of wise guy or nut or something? What are you talking about? He said, well, I appreciate the way you were in some quite stressful situations. You went through the streets, and I appreciate the way you handled your cab. You did a good job of driving it. Man put his money in his pocket. Yeah, got back in his cab. And his friend that was with the passenger that paid his fare said to him, why'd you do that? Says, you know, he won't appreciate that at all. He says, well, says, you never can know. He says, maybe it'll cause him to think about the way that he's acting and help him to deal with some of the strain and the tensions that he will endure during the day. And it may be, I don't know how many fares he might pick up today, but it may be if he picks up 20 or so, he may be a little bit more kind to each one of those fares. Maybe each one of those fares, having a little bit of kindness shown, a little bit of love shown to them, will in turn show a little bit of love to the people they come in contact with that day. You see, one person can have a rippling effect upon showing of love. It's not a can of oil that we need to go about carrying in our pocket, but it's a big pocket full of love. Always remembering how much God loved us. It'll change our lives, and it'll change the lives of all the people that we come into contact with. But we must recognize it's not just an emotion, it's not just a feeling, it's not some worldly concept of love. It's a love that's sacrificial. Whenever my problems, my difficulties, no matter what they might be, I'm still concerned about other people. And it's love that's unconditional, loving them all. Do you love God this morning? He loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to join Him in this mission of showing love to all of the world. That's what He's done, sending His Son. He took the initiative in His love and mercy and kindness. He sent His Son to die for you. So that though you have sinned and rebelled against Him, and gone your own way like a wayward child, you do not have to spend eternity in hell. There's salvation for you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you will believe in Him, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. You need to respond to the invitation this morning. If you do, will you not do so? While we stand now, while we sing.